Greetings and welcome along to the show. Today we're talking with Steve Swallow. Steve has over 25 years of experience in the technology sector, working with both private and public organisations. He loves to see technology help facilitate meaningful change that delivers better outcomes for citizens and organisations of all types. Now, Steve recently delivered the keynote at a public sector innovation conference focused on turning energy into value. Steve is currently the head of public sector for Datacom New Zealand and based in Wellington. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Thanks, Paul. Pleasure to be here. We were just saying first time on the other side of the headphones, on the other side of the podcast headphones, so pleasure to be here.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Oh, it's great to have you. Now, look, I'm keen to hear from you about particularly the challenges that you see face, I guess, our countries today, and particularly looking in at what government can do and the role that technology has to play in resolving some of these challenges. I think if I look back over the last 100 years, we've had incredible achievement around the world in so many areas, and life longevity has grown. I think have a much more balanced society in many regards, but we could stack that up against all the challenges that get discussed at all levels every day, and it seems technology has a really important role in resolving some of these sorts of things. What are you seeing out there at the moment that sort of caught your attention and got you thinking?
Yeah, I guess we'll start with the fact that I have seen a lot of sort of public sector, private sector, and also across government, across primarily Australia and New Zealand. And there's a lot of sameness, right? A lot of the challenges are the same. Conversations that we'll have with chief executives now, though, of either agencies or private sector organisations, is a sort of feeling of being stuck, like there's this... We all know the challenges, the macro level challenges that we have, that like just exponential change all over the place. But there is this technology layer that is causing us to get a little bit stuck, right? There's a lot of technical debt. There's a lot of complexity that we've built up over the last sort of 20 years of technology. And there's just this growing level of frustration, right? So it's sort of about how we go about achieving value rather than what. We've got some really major challenges, and we all know what they are, and we all know why we need to fix things. So it's just how. And I sort of talk about the fact that in the past, it's sort of pretty easy, the last sort of 20 years of technology, rationalize, consolidate, put some things, virtualize some stuff, get them in a really nice data center and do that. Now there's just this uncertain future of what do I even... Is artificial intelligence or blockchain going to just, is that even relevant to me? So these questions, this level of uncertainty creates a level of anxiety, right? And where do I look? What do I go to? So customers are asking some very different things of technology than what they used to ask for. And one other thing about that is you mentioned we have come a long way with technology, and that's not just information technology, but all technology is advancing in a rapid state. But what we're starting to see is, turning, I talk about energy to value, right? And the technology is not the end game. It's certainly an enabler. And in New Zealand in particular, and even in Australia, we're well regarded in terms of our technology uptake, particularly in public sector, at the top of the right-hand, quadrants of digitization of government. But we still have some really, really shocking social statistics, That's what we need to start shifting the dial on. Cool, we've got a great foundation of technology. Let's turn that energy away from the process conversation, making processes more efficient, to actually shifting the dial on some of those big social change that needs to occur.
Right, so to break down this energy to value mindset for us.
Yeah, so I sort of call it a formula. I'm a bit of a techo at heart, but it's not really a formula. It's like E to V, right? And I look at one that E side, energy side of the equation is limited. We have limited money, limited headspace, limited resources in all in all aspects, whether it's human resources or technology resources. Well, there's a whole other conversation about abundance that you can get that we can get into, I'm sure. But at this point in time, there's limited energy. On the other side of that equation, value is potentially unlimited. So the conversation is about focusing as much as that limited energy in all respects to as much of the value that we can. And what occurred to me, particularly about the way that we engage with citizens in the public sector, and it still happens today, is that there's a focus on the process of making the process more efficient. And often I've seen that in order to serve someone, we first need to put them through a process to put them in a box so that we can serve them. You know what I mean? So there's a two-stage process to serving them. Why can't we just focus on how we want to serve rather than focusing on trying to get them in a box? So there's a whole bunch of energy that goes into processing people to put them into a box, all right? And if you don't fit into one of those boxes, well, good luck to you. Yeah, you know? Yeah, so that's that concept, yeah. And that's why we sort of talk about energy to value, or shifting your focus from the process to the value, right?
Yeah. So how do you think organisations should get started with this change of mindset? You know, what do you focus on?
Well, if we start back with, I guess there is a mindset shift. You talk about a mindset shift, and I always look back on the and there's lots of work on this, lots of books on this. The difference between complexity and complex, like you know, a watch is a very complex mechanism, but it's a really simple input output. I turn that dial, and I know that output occurs. So, but when you've got a very multiple relationships across a complex system, it creates a level of complexity. And it's more about the relationships rather than the entities themselves, the nodes, that's sort of network theory type stuff. So I look at the drive that we've been on, which is sort of, I call it the Taylorist, which is where the production line system came from, you know, in the early 1900s. Focus on the widget, focus on process efficiency, make the widget more efficient, make it more cost effective in its isolation, right? And yes, we will get value from that. And we did.
Of course.
That's changed now, and that no longer works, not in a system like particularly a very a complex government system where interrelationships are hard. So shift away from that, and it's that's the mindset shift. Very tempting to go, I just need to focus on making the process more efficient, and it feels right, right? Because it has been right. And when you look back, it has been right. But it's not shifting the dial, and we know that, and it's less and less relevant. So that's that. So zoom out from the individual widgets. Look at the entire ecosystem. Find in a world where you believe that you are unique. Like, and I find a lot of this with government agencies and even private sector agencies. You know, you're the only X of this in the country. The minute you say, oh, I'm unique and I'm different and my challenges are different, you're sort of on a hiding to nothing. You can't learn from anybody in that respect, right? You know, I'm alone out here trying to solve this problem on my own. But when you zoom out and look at who you are as an organization, what you do, you know, I do research. I publish material. I might pay people, or I take payments. Now, they're very generic. So I talk about seek out the sameness, right? Find the generic in the specific, which is what I heard many years ago.
Yeah.
I prefer seek out the sameness for some reason. I don't know why. But that sort of rings true. That's something you can have in your head. That's another mindset shift. So it starts with that, right? It's from this, you know, try to resist that well-founded desire to focus on the widgets and the process efficiency, and then resist that temptation to say my problem's unique and I have to sit in a room by myself and try to figure this thing out because I'm the only one.
Yeah. So there's so much that can be learned from others, right? That have got similarities, be that, you know, however much the crossover is.
Yeah.
There are great examples of innovation sort of, you know, wherever we look, I suppose. Any particular examples that come to mind for you, whether it's public or particularly in the sort of the public sector, where, you know, I imagine a lot of government entities would, and I guess the same in the private sector, would feel that they're very, you know, they're very unique.
Well, I'll give start with some examples of where we've sort of had conversations with government agencies and pointed them at places that they wouldn't normally think of, right? We're working with one and sort of looked at their so first that zoom out, take a look at your ecosystem because you don't, no one operates in isolation. So then we've looked at it and went, well, there's the concept is you want to be a digital organisation. We all know that once you digitise something, you can exponentially increase the value of that thing, from anything, from energy to DNA to whatever it is. So digitisation, we all know, is what – is it digitisation or digitalisation?
We can talk about that. Yeah, you can debate that one.
You can debate that one. Let's just say digitisation. It's easier to say. So we sort of looked at this organisation and went, well – You're a publishing organiser. There's lots of content that you need to publish to make the to get the citizens aware of what's going on or whatever it is. So who's the best digital publisher of certain types of content? Well, National Geographic's great, right? They're awesome like that. So what do they do? And then you look at them and say, what digital elements have they built that potentially can be packaged and reused? You know, customer experience sort of or ease of use type stuff, you might point to a zero right in the New Zealand context and say they have an awesome, you know, experience, customer experience, you know, digital customer experience. So what can we learn from them? Or even other government agencies, right, who have done small pieces of work on some sort of digital element that can be picked up and reused. So we see lots of examples like that.
That's great. So, yeah. And you know, I think today there are an ever-increasing number of, of startups and disruptors and so on. I mean, there's news coming through all the time. Podcasts, of course, are, you know, great medium for you know, keeping your finger on the pulse of what some of these new organisations are. And so there must be a whole lot to learn from those examples, you know, as well as those who are, you know, maybe a lot further further down the track too.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the other one there is you raise a good point that. Any problem that you could probably come up that you can come up against, and I do believe this, any problem in a business context has been solved somewhere on the planet, and probably by someone who you wouldn't think of. And we look at, you know, sites out there all over the place. You know, there's the app sites that you'll go to and go, I'm looking for an app that does X or Y, and it'll be there, right? And many of these organisations are not necessarily. I was talking to, you know, an entrepreneur down in Wellington, done a lot of stuff globally, right? And he said, these are not, you know, two people in a garage type organisations who you're having to try to do business with, right? Many of these organisations that have started up are selling to Fortune 500 companies around the world, you know, as a piece of their payment platform or a piece of their customer experience platform. So you don't think you're having to take risk on picking up some random piece of software somewhere. So it's a really exciting time to be in. But what we see is people getting stuck by just look, you know, sitting in a room by themselves, you know, maybe asking a few people, really thinking hard about the problem from a process perspective, and not just looking outside and going, look at the wealth of, you know, sort of shamelessly stealing some of the, well, not stealing, but, you know, shamelessly just sort of picking people's brains, collectively solving the problems, picking up digital elements, sharing them. You know, it's that sort of, you know, there's a community that needs to exist, particularly in public sector, I think, because they can share. Private sector is different. I mean, there's platforms already for private sector organisations, but government, we've sort of thrown around this concept of, you know, I don't know, there's Nextdoor in the States and Neighbourly in Wellington, or a Facebook group, you know, where, you know, in a context of, you know, I've got a lawnmower that's free, does anybody want to borrow it, or I need a, you know, an hacksaw or something. And a government can do the same with digital elements, you know?
Yeah, I'd be really interested in seeing how that potentially could evolve, because, there's a real, you know, downside to being, you know, siloed off. And even within one organisation, there's often, you know, so many silos. And the more that can be done to break that down and facilitate the, you know, a spirit of collaboration, you know, I think, you know, has to lead to better outcomes overall. And then there's, I guess, that separation that organisations often have from those that matter most, which is, you know, effectively their customers, right? And you know, I think government organisations, you know, probably have you know, similar challenges to private sector organisations in terms of you know, learning where to interact with and when to listen, I guess, to the customer, which you know, for government organisations, you know, the customers are very broad and varied.
Mm.
What's your view on really, you know, hearing from and learning from the customer in those regards from a government perspective? How important is that?
Massively. And I think I'm heartened to see a real shift in the last few years of government, both across. I've done work across the federal government in Australia and as well in New Zealand, and you know, everyone talks about citizen centricity, which is great, talking about it for a long time, but now actively shifting some of the energy that exists from the centre out into the communities that we serve, and I know in the New Zealand context, we're seeing a lot more of that. So if you think about some of the social services organisations we have here, they are doing a lot of more of that, pushing it out to the community. And I always say that the problems exist in the communities, so maybe the answers do as well. So sort of sitting back and really thinking hard and looking at statistics about, you know, this going up and that going down, and in a room, I'm not saying everybody does that, but it sort of feels like that's what we used to do, take a very scientific approach to it, and that's still valid because you sort of have to have some proof points.
Of course.
But in the end, it's those out there in the community doing the mahi, right, doing the work, that get this sort of visceral sense. They're the ones who care. So we sort of talk about that. So empower the communities, enable them with technology, and we've got some examples. You know, even things like we did Hack Tairawhiti, which is just a hackathon that got local businesses to solve, to look at social problems and challenges that they have, and just did a hack fest on it over a weekend, right? And that spawned potentially you know, a couple of businesses that, a couple of things: one, solving a problem, and two, creating a pathway in the regions for economic growth.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so that's just awesome. So there's a double banger there. So there's that one, and we talk about that. Then we talk about from compliance to caring. It's just I like these little sound bites. You might get that about me, but the, you know, often we've got an example in Australia from a water quality perspective, and you know, the people who are out there are the ones who care deeply about it, but don't force them into a compliance mindset by ticking boxes. So sort of make complying almost easy and simple so that they can shift to what they really do, which is caring, right? Let them to actually do what they need to do rather than having to spend lots of energy ticking boxes and complying with regulations. Or, you know, so that's really that concept of same thing, you know, that energy to value. The people who are out there in the community, try to give them the ability to focus on caring more about the you know, what they actually do innately care about, rather than having to tick boxes and comply. You know, that can be done in a different way, and technology can help do that. Yeah.
Have you seen, you know, any great examples of that? Because I mean, that sounds almost sort of, you know, nirvana like that. You know, you can you know, enable people to be, you know, so focused on their passions, but of course, you know, there does need to be those elements of process and compliance as well, right? So is that something hard to do, or is it more that I guess those compliance things you know, build up over time and maybe get added to, and nobody actually takes the fresh look?
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point, because as you know, things develop over time and you end up in a situation where you've got a form or a process that is just years and years of adding to it. And they were all good. There were all good reasons why that occurred. And sometimes that's where we talk about, you know, try to shift away from the process and rethink it, leap over it and start again. What value am I trying to create? And then work back from that rather than take the process you've currently got and try to make it better. Now, that's relevant in lots of respects, but at least try that first. And often we've looked at things like this, and there's work that we haven't done, and I think New Zealand government did something called Smart Start with a technology provider here, and it was well, there's really complexity in sharing data in the back end, really hard, complex problem to solve. So let's not do that. Let's try to, what we wanted to do, what we needed to do as a country is sort of aggregate some information so that when, parents were on the journey of birth of their child, they could easily get information and know where they were and all that sort of stuff. That didn't require a whole bunch of, complex identity management or complex data integration in the back end. Start with that front end. So real value was created, right, with very little energy. At some point, you've got to – so you're working back towards the complexity, not starting from it, makes sense. Another one we did with that one that I spoke about with water was Vic Water. And, of course, digitalizing the process and then making it available where they are. Like where they are and when they are, so that they can comply very simply out there, on the farm or wherever you are, you can just quickly go bang, bang, bang. I mean, we all know the technology's there, knows where I am, knows who I am, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Tick some boxes, send, comply. The old process was go back into the farmhouse, download some form, print it out. You know what I mean? There's often
extra unnecessary layers, it can completely break there being a chance of a good outcome in some cases, can't it?
Absolutely. So look, I'm not sitting here saying it's all easy because it is really hard because compliance is important, right? That's what keeps us safe. So you have to find that balance though, because too often there's a bit too much of that. But as I say, lots of all of the government agencies that I speak to are desperate to do this. What we're saying is, well, let's explore new ways of doing it, because the ways that we've been trying to approach this, the how, is hard. Everybody's still stuck. We're still focusing on potentially the wrong things. So let's try a different way, right? This sort of zoom out, look at your ecosystem, find your digital elements, seek out those digital exemplars who have done something similar. Might not be in the same sector or for the same reason, and then give it a go, right? And that concept of be where the citizen is or where the problem is, be there in their moment of need, at that time. Not somewhere else. Don't make that citizen or that person who has the need come to you. You have to be where they are at their moment of need.
Now we are starting to see and have done over a number of years, technology make it easier to hear back from people. It used to be we push information out a lot easier maybe than we receive it back. How much role do you think technology can play in hearing from those areas where the problems are? You talked about where the problems are, often the solution is in that same place. What are the ways that you see that can really be gathered and those solutions heard?
I think that is the ecosystem thinking that none of these problems can be solved by a single agency or entity or person. So we see a lot of work. So this collection of people who care. And there's lots of, in New Zealand, NGOs, non-government organisations who get funded potentially centrally, but they're out there and they're all over the place and they're all doing awesome work in the communities. And where I've seen it work really well is where they are tightly linked up to the agency or agencies, working collaboratively, not just linked up, in a sense of hey, they know what I'm doing and I know what they're doing, but literally on the ground working together with a couple of other NGOs. So we've done some work in South Australia You know, we put in contact centres, created jobs where jobs were the automotive industry shut down, so there was a lot of people out of work. So we created we worked with the South Australian government and tertiary institutes, you know, for retraining, job readiness. The TAFEs in Australia. I've got to get my language right, but you know, so we collected an ecosystem of entities together, including us, to help create this this value, right? Which was creating 1,000. Well, it was a little bit lower, but we created more jobs in a shorter amount of time for South Australia, and that's an awesome story, right? But that could only be done by working as a collective together, not trying to do it individually. So the old comp of one of those entities did something, created an output, passed it on to another organisation who tweaked it and did their output and passed it on to another one, did their output. That's that production line. You know, that's that efficiency equation that you get into, whereas this was literally collectively working together. So we've seen that work really well.
Yeah. I think that sounds really exciting, and you know, I guess it's that thing of how do you facilitate that? How do you get started? But you know, the first piece is realizing what the opportunity is and what can be created, and you know, from there it's it's not usually too hard to figure out what the next steps are.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because you look at it and say, well, what part does technology play in that? You know, we all know the technology bit's easy. Digitizing a form's easy, doing whatever's easy. But we've sort of got to the end of just applying technology. Well, I think we've got to the end of real creating significant exponential value in applying technology to individual, you know, entities or solutions or processes. That's the sort of that thinking of input-output thinking. Let's make it more a process more efficient. So once you do that collective or that ecosystem thinking, and if you look at even at a macro level, actually I was listening to another podcast and it had Peter Diamandis, who's a Singularity University guy, talking about convergence, right, which is disruption comes from. So convergence is almost the same thing as the ecosystem approach. It's multiple things coming together, multiple technologies coming together, nanotech, AI, you know, material engineering or whatever, that sort of thing, to 3D print rockets, for example. So that could never happen without that convergence of multiple things coming together, and that's what this is about. So do that first, know where the value is collectively, what problem am I, real problem, what dial, I don't say problem, I mean what dial am I trying to shift? Trying to shift the, you know, some of those really bad statistics, right, whether it's suicide rates or amphetamine use or car accidents or whatever it might be, from X to Y. Doing that, then you start applying technology back from that, rather than sort of the other way around. Yeah. So we see that thinking work really well. Yeah.
That's good. And do you think that as we get more focused on these problems, we're going to need a lot more people to address them? I've been thinking a lot about, you know, the future of work and the workforce. And you know, what changes, you know, businesses are sort of, you know, automating things more and more, yet it does seem as though there are increasing opportunities to actually draw on people outside of the automation and the technology.
Look, I think you're right. That's a whole other conversation when it comes to the future of work. What the energy into collecting the people in the communities together, I think, is the sort of the key, and getting on the ground input. And empowering those people who already are in the community, already potentially struggling, actually, and empowering them and creating pathways for them to help solve the problems, because they want to. They just feel like many organisations, sort of almost a little bit helpless. Those who have the least voice, you know, the least agency, they might not be as connected as we all take for granted.
That's an important point, isn't
it? Oh, yeah. Everybody thinks that, you know, and look, they could be, they can be, but you're in situations where you just don't prioritise that because you've got to prioritise feeding your kids or, you know, whatever it might be. And we always talk about in the community, what we've found is that they know that you've got to be with them in their moment of need, which is what I say. Let's not say that you have to engage with the system, you know. And that's it, and government knows this. They say this, right? The citizen is the integrator, and that's not really fair. I shouldn't have to know. I might not be literate, right? I might not be able to. It's not in a language that I know, or I might not get what you mean on your website to fill out this form. There's a barrier there. So that's what I mean. Technology is good, but that sort of applying technology to digitize a process, but the individual who you're trying to serve might not be able to engage with that digital process, right? Mm. So getting back to the people thing, I think, harnessing and empowering the people who are already there, who already care. And that's partly why we do these things like Hack Tairawhiti, and we've done a Nelson one, we've done some other ones. And there are other ways what we did in South Australia, which we'd sort of love to replicate over here in some way, in the regions, is to power those regions up, both socially and economically if we can. And we've seen it work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what sort of takeaway would you like, to leave with our listeners from here?
Great question.
Where to from here?
Well, look, we're up for a new way of working, right? And we're willing to explore that. I always said, actually, some of the talks I give, I start with, we are a nation of explorers, right? Whether your ancestors came here, 1,000 years ago or 150 years ago, we came here from somewhere else. So there's this inherent, and Australia's same, whether your ancestors came 40,000 years ago or a couple of hundred years ago, same thing, nation of explorers, right? So it's sort of inherent in our DNA, and that's where we're heading with this let's explore a new way, and you can do it quickly. We'd love to see this concept of digital elements and a sharing platform, and we're up for investigating that as well. And short of any of those bigger moves, let's have a conversation about the value and turning as much energy we can into value.
I love that. That's excellent. Oh, that's a great way to finish. Thank you very much, Steve.
Yeah, thanks very much. It's been a pleasure. Right. Yeah.
Fantastic.